A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Back when I was in college, I had a friend, and I was studying, after I stopped studying law, I started to study philosophy. I got really into philosophy, and then that led me into theology, studying my faith. And I had a friend at the time who was pretty secular, back from my secular days, and he started giving me a hard time about this emphasis on God. No, that it was becoming more and more important to me. And he said, you know, all this worship of this God and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, what is your God anyway? Some kind of, you know, celestial narcissist? It's got to have everybody bowing down in front of him, worshiping him. And I thought, it occurred to me, I said, no, he's not a politician. No, he's definitely not. No. But I think that kind of a cynicism is pretty common, even if people don't express it quite that way. We feel that this great emphasis on worshiping God and glory to you, Lord, holy is your name, let all praise be to you, things we say just roll off our tongue as observant religious people, can seem strange to people who have no relationship with God or deny his existence, no? And I think I should probably apologize in advance for this homily because I think it was St. Thomas said, the more we try to explain the Trinity, the farther away we get from the truth. He said, when we think we've got it down, then we can conclude that we're wrong. Because the Trinity is a mystery that goes beyond our understanding. It's not a mystery in the sense of something we haven't figured out, like a murder mystery, no? At the end of the book, you find out, you know, or at the end of the movie, you find out, you know, who did it. But a mystery, in the true sense, a mystery of the faith, is something that transcends our understanding. It goes beyond our capacity to understand. We've got these puny little brains, you know, and we can only understand so much. God reveals something about himself to us, but grasping and comprehending God in his essence, in his mystery as three persons in one God, for example, nobody's ever going to figure that out. And not even this guy Sam Altman with his artificial intelligence is going to get it figured out. Right? And God is, you know, we're all afraid. What's this? Artificial intelligence is going to be smarter than us. It's going to take over the world. And God's just chuckling to himself. Like, here they go again, trying to invent something that's going to outfox me. And I'm just going to show them sooner or later that all these things they try to do turn back on themselves. Like, oh yeah, we invented, we could split the atom and harness nuclear power, right? And for the last 80 years, we've been afraid of blowing up the world, right? And then one thing after another we invent threatens our existence. And this is a mystery that goes beyond our understanding, but that somehow we can grasp at least this much. And it's very important. You know how the Muslims have the idea of Allah, one God, And anybody who says anything else, if you say Jesus is God, you're blaspheming and they kill you, right? You know, and the Jewish people, they believe that God is just one, right? And when Jesus said that he was the Son of God, well, he had to be crucified because he was a blasphemer. He made himself equal to God. And then the Eastern religions are, they don't have a concept really of a personal God, right? It's some kind of amorphous power, or we're all part of God, or who knows what they're saying. But the Christian God, and this is the key to Jesus' revelation in the gospel today, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At the core of the universe is not just the power or a person, but three persons who are all God, but yet they're only one God. And that means at the core of being, of the universe, of everything that is and can be comprehended, it's that these three persons are in a relationship of love, of unity. And that reveals something about everything they create. It reveals something about ourselves. If the highest thing imaginable, the highest reality, the deepest thing, if we can call it a thing, God, is Father, Son, and Spirit in this eternal relationship of love and self-surrender and obedience, then that says something about the universe they create and who we are. Because we're linked to that somehow. And what the whole scripture, right from Moses, the first reading today, was a great one, because he's saying to the people, you know, ask now, the days of old, before your time, ever since God created man on the earth, did anything so great ever happen before? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire? Did any God venture to make a nation for himself like our God has done for you? In other words, this God who's at the center of the universe and so infinitely beyond our imagination has chosen to be in a relationship with us. That we are somehow important to him in some way we can't even fathom. And that speaks volumes about the dignity of the human person. Because in this infinite God, somehow he's got time for us. With all our complexes and, you know, phobias and weirdness and issues that we've got, we might say, he still puts the human person at the center of creation. And then even when we rebelled against him and turned our back on him, he sent his only Son from that Trinity to become one of us, to suffer and die for us. Because we must be so important to God. And that grounds and that roots our dignity. Not because the government has given it to us, or because all us humans decided to hold hands and sing kumbaya and let's all get along. No, but because this infinite God has decided to create us, and even when we screwed up, to redeem us, and then to elevate us and bring us into some kind of relationship with him for all eternity that we can't even imagine. The eye hath not seen, nor is the ear heard, nor is it much as entered into the heart of man the wonderful things that he has prepared for those who love him. And so the Christian goes into the world, if we grasp this, that it changes everything for us, right? The way we ought to live, the way we ought to organize our societies, our countries, our world, the way we ought to use the material universe, the way we ought to respect and have reverence for every person, every human life. Because it's all created by an infinite God who, for some reason we can't figure out, loves us and has given us a destiny to be with him for eternity. And he stayed with us. It says so much about us. Pope John Paul II, now Saint John Paul, he used to say, man is the way for the church. Because our task down here is to bring everyone into a relationship with this God. Not to have huge sectors of our society indifferent to God, or worse, denying him. No. Not having the majority of people, perhaps, who exist today, going about their lives as if those 80 or 90 years you get, those 80 or 90 revolutions around the sun, were really important. They're not. In the big picture, what's important is eternity. And we've been invited into that eternity. That's why Jesus says, go therefore, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and command them to do everything I've taught you. Or teach them to do everything I've commanded you. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Why? Because every single human person is precious to God and has an eternal destiny. We don't go out there as missionaries. We don't go out and evangelize just because we want to dominate people. Just because we want to increase our numbers and become more powerful. Those are all worldly political games. We do it because we've been sent by one of these persons of the Blessed Trinity out on a mission to the world to bring the rest of our human race into a relationship with him, because that's what they were created for. And they don't get it. They don't know it. That's the missionary impulse of the church, is that so many people are created and live their lives, as one author said, lives of quiet desperation. And they never realize the purpose of their existence. The real purpose of our existence is to connect with that divine Trinity, because that's the key to our eternity, to meaning and purpose in our lives. And so the church is missionary. Jesus sends them out as missionaries because, unfortunately, the great majority of the world doesn't know that they've been created in love with an eternal destiny, with a dignity. And sometimes we Christians forget that too. And we get caught up in all our little nonsense and our squabbles and our wars and our petty fights. And we never realize the great things we're called to. So let's pray this Trinity Sunday that the Lord will give us insight and wisdom into himself. Because that's what makes us understand who and what we are and how we ought to live. And how we ought to reach out to others to bring them into a relationship with God. We can't be indifferent to people who are walking around with no concept of God, no interest in the spiritual life, no interest in eternity. No. God wants us to be the ones who bring them into eternal life.